All right, here with the Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts. We're a long way since 2013. When you walked into camp, do you remember how much you weighed?
I probably weighed maybe 200 pounds. That's probably what my goal was at that time, around 205. I'm pretty sure about that.
Where are you at now?
Now I'm at 220. I'm trying to stay around that area, in between 250 and 225 during the season, but 220 is always my main goal.
Because I remember the first time I saw Hanley Ramirez as a young kid, and then, of course, we all saw him later in life. So now, I'm not saying you get that bulked up, right?
Yeah, no, I don't want to get that bulked up, especially his last years with the Dodgers. I remember seeing how big he was. Obviously, I was a big fan of him. So I don't want to get to that extreme. So that's why I just try to maintain my balance around 220. If it goes down a little bit, it's fine.
What do you remember about yourself in that 2013 season? Everybody talks about that at bat against Scherzer. You know, that walk was like, you know, people were like, oh, my God, look at that walk. What an eye this guy has. But what do you remember yourself as a young kid coming up?
I remember I was very patient. I probably am still now, but especially at that time. I was so young, and I had to understand real quick how important these games were at that time. I remember I got a couple pinch hit walks with against the Tampa Bay Rays and end up scoring, and we ended up winning and went on to the next round against the Tigers. Wasn't playing the first couple of games. Then I remember I got a pinch hit double. Napoli was like, hey, you're playing tomorrow. I'm like, no, I hope I'm not. Then next thing I know, I'm playing tomorrow. John Farrell told me on my way out, hey, you're playing tomorrow in the lineup. So I remember I was real nervous. I was real nervous at that time because I know how important all these games were.
Yeah. So I remember early in your career, it was that 1 year you hit 320. Then you get 7 home runs. The following year you came back with 20, right? And the average is still 294. So it seemed as though you became this guy patient. And then all of a sudden you said, okay, I'm going to show a little bit of pop here. Was that just maturity as a hitter, or was that more of a mindset?
I think it's just a mindset.
Yeah.
I remember my second year, my first 4 year I struggled. My second 4 year, I had a lot to prove, so I wanted to go out there and did the best that I can. I see a lot of open spaces on the field. I was just trying to hit the ball, especially the other way. A lot of people were giving me that base hit over there, so I was just taking it. You know, I'm young, so I'm trying to have success in the big leagues, and obviously that success can carry over, and it did until the next season. I had a better year. I started driving the ball a little bit more instead of just worrying more on that base hit to right field.
So in 2018, you really put it all together. You had that career year. Now, last year, you topped it, right? You had a better year. And it seemed as though, you know, Alex Cora and the whole aggressiveness mindset, it's just sort of, you are a great two-strike hitter. But it was, even with two strikes, you would admit, it's still a defensive kind of approach, right? All of a sudden, now here you are, not worrying about getting the two strikes, getting people before two strikes, you know, clearing guys, you know, early in counts. That looked like more of a definite mindset change for you.
Yeah, I had a big mindset change, especially these last 2 years with this new coaching staff that we have. Trying to drive the ball more, left center gap, right center. I don't have the JD type of pop the other way, but I can run into one once in a blue moon. But knowing how to use Fenway Park has a short portion left field, but it's so hard to hit the ball with a precise pad to left field. You know, people can get pull happy, and I've seen a lot of guys do that and struggle a lot. So it's not easy, but I think I had to learn how to do that with BP, repetitions, and experience, and as I said, the mindset, just trying to drive the ball more instead of just seeing a big hole up the middle and just trying to hit the ball right up the middle, base hit, you know, just a whole different mindset.
So defensively, too, you see growth there defensively. Is that just sort of, you know, people talk about internal clock. I've always known about that and just knowing when to get rid of the ball quicker, knowing when you have more time. Was it just more consistent on just the so-called routine play? I hate that term, routine play. There's no such thing until the first baseman catches it. But
exactly.
What was it for you?
I think in the beginning I struggled a lot because knowing the speeds from the different type of guys in the big leagues at that point, the teams that you're playing against. As I got older, as I played more, I started to understand more and know the guys better, know which guys you got to get the ball, get rid of the ball quick, or which guys you can have some time with. So I think, as I said, it's just a experience thing. I think that was probably one of the main factors, and just trying to make the outs. You know, in big leagues, it's just 27 outs in a ball game. Hopefully you're up so you can win the game. But every out is important, and try to take care of the rock.
All right, we're talking to Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Now, a lot has changed. You know, I want to start with some of the players here. A guy like Mookie Betts, someone you came up through the system, probably thought you were going to play together for a long time. You watched him grow. He's watched you grow. How odd would it be for you not having a guy like that in this locker room?
It would be odd. It would be odd. But you know what? After games, I normally go home and watch games on the West Coast, so I'll probably watch a lot of his games this year. Coming up, I've seen him make his debut. I remember when I was my first couple years in the big leagues, Andy Fox is like, hey, one guy down there you got to see is Mookie Betts. Like, he's, you know, the next big thing. And I'm like, well, wait till he get up, you know. And once he came up, he never disappointed with those words that he said. Obviously, his career has took off on a tremendous path. And he's such a great teammate and so beloved by all of us. I mean, fans, players, people in our organization. He's truly a special player. He is.
So I've talked to a lot of people that I really respect in this organization when we talk about David Price, and they say he's misunderstood because I think the fans see a different David. I think David sometimes in the camera would fight back, you know, and he was just a fighter. That's what he is. But with you guys praise him. I mean, you would stand by him thick and thin. Just to talk about what it's like. Was he misunderstood, and what would that absence be like?
I think he's just such a good competitor, a great competitor. I remember on game days, you know, he has that face that like, hey, don't mess around with him today, you know. But that's just how he is, man, and that's why he's had so much success in the big leagues. He's learned how to prepare himself. He's learned himself how to get ready for a ball game. Especially, I think, once he got that kid, man. Once he got that kid, he definitely changed around a lot. I know in the beginning here, he got a lot of heat. Different media here than compared to maybe Tampa or Detroit or wherever he were before that, you know. And maybe he had to adapt to that also. So it was a change for him, I would say, but once he learned to deal with it and deal with it the right way, I think that's when he really opened up and being himself instead of being, like, mad at the media or stuff like that. He just had to understand that that's how it is over here, you know?
Yeah, I think back home, you know, a lot of people aren't happy with Mookie. You know, the Red Sox moving on from Mookie Betts. And I think, you know, you look at you two guys, and I think the thing is everybody's different, right? And he is a great player. I said there's no red flags with this kid. I always thought he was the second or third best player in the game. But he's just different, you know, whether if it's business, he wants to hit free agency. You took another path because that's just something you're comfortable with, but it's just about different people and different decisions, right?
Everyone's different. Yeah. Everyone's different, and I think everyone earned the respect for others to respect their decisions, and that's the one that he took. I think it was pretty clear with these guys. I don't know how far they got into the negotiation talks and years and money and stuff like that, but I guess he figured it wasn't enough, and he took that path that he wanted to reach free agency, and he stuck to his guts with that one, and so far that's the way it's going to play out unless something happens differently now. But that's just how he is. You know, he's determined. He wanted to do that, and that's what he's going to do.
Because I always figure the agent, you know, you obviously have Scott Boras, very powerful agent. Everybody looks at him. You know, he's got everybody, right? And they say, well, Scott will never let his clients do what you did. So that had to be obviously coming from you, and he's you're the player. He works for you, right?
Yeah, he works for you, and as I said, everyone's different. So I think the better he knows you as a person, the better idea he have what's best for you and what's best in your interest. And obviously, me being here my whole career, and this is pretty much all that I know. You know, these guys gave me a chance when I was so young, and very thankful for them, probably for the rest of my life. You know, for the opportunity that they gave me. And everyone's different. Some guys want a lot. Some guys don't need a lot. So everyone's different, and it all depends to that person.
So another guy that's missing here is Alex Cora. I know he meant a lot to you. I know you talk about this last 2 years, the step you took. I've always looked around that team, and I've seen the growth of you, the growth of Devers, the growth of Erod and Vasquez while he was here. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like the communication with the Latin-speaking players or just the way he relates to you to kind of give you that confidence to go out and maybe reach that level you should.
He obviously, bilingual, speak both languages. I think that made it easier to speak with the Latin guys, especially with Devers. I would say that's probably huge with him also because his English isn't the best, but he's working on it. He's improved a lot. But communicated with him in Spanish would probably be better, and AC did a great job with that with all of us. Eduardo, you know, Eddie had a couple injuries, and he overcame that. Last year, he had a great year for us. I think everyone in this team has definitely benefited a lot from Alex, all in a positive way. He's helped us understand the game better. He's improved us. He's taken us to other heights. Obviously, won a championship together. All I have to say is a good thing about this guy, man. I have absolutely nothing bad to say.
You know, and it is interesting because obviously, you know, when that report comes out with Houston, his name is there, but it seems like you guys have sort of move beyond that because you're so close to them.
Yeah, yeah. We don't even think about that. Yeah. As I said, whatever he did in Houston, he wasn't Houston. But from the moment he came here, all he talked was positive. All he preached was positive. All he did was positive. And I think he's definitely someone that we miss. We know we got to move on from that. But he's someone we obviously cared a lot for, and he helped us a lot. So he's someone that's always welcome.
Have you talked to him since that report came out to try to?
Yeah, I've talked to him. He actually sent me a text today, actually, about his kids hitting the balls. And his kids were hitting ground balls. I'm like, hey, that's reminding me of my 2015 season, you know, just trying to hit ground balls. So we had a little joke. I texted him right when I got here in spring training. So I talked to him a lot. Obviously, we both like soccer, and he liked Liverpool. So the Champions League is going on. So we talk about different things. So it's been fun.
So and I heard you talk the other day when you addressed the media, and you and Chris kind of almost had a similar, you know, feeling towards – there's a lot of anger towards, you know, the Astros and what had happened. But it was – you guys were supposed to say, hey, listen, it's in the past. They got to deal with it now. That sort of thing. Does it? You hear the players, and they are angry with them. Is there any concern that they could move that anger towards you in a week or two, if a report
to the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. But I do see these guys. These guys are getting mad. I saw LeBron James also comment on it. I just feel like it's getting blown up more and more every day, you know. And I don't have an answer for how it's gonna. Yeah. All that talk is gonna die down. So. That's a problem that they have to deal with, you know. I'm happy that we don't have to deal with all of that hype, bad type of hype.
Yeah.
That's something on them, man. And, I mean, they know what they did. They know what they did wasn't right. So you got to deal with the consequences.
And you guys know what you did as far as going out there and competing and winning a championship. How much would that bother you if people start questioning that, whether it's legit or not?
Obviously it would, but I don't think that would be the same case with us. Obviously, we went out there and we had the best team that year, and we proved it to everyone. Last year, we dealt with a couple of injuries, or else I think we would have been in a better situation. Yeah. But that's the way the game is. You know, you can't always have everyone healthy. And the other team were the best team last year. So we see how it goes this year, and we're excited for this new year and looking forward to it.
So over the weekend, Rob Manfred addressed everybody, and he made a comment and kind of called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. You've won two of those pieces of metal. When you heard that, what was your? It's a commissioner's trophy.
I know.
There's a guy calling it a piece of metal.
I saw
because I can tell you, I wasn't happy, and I've said my piece. You know, but I just think it's a ridiculous comment.
I saw a couple guys saying that, saying how he should take his name off of the trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, you play 162 games, trying to have the best record in the division.
You know, you're spending home in Aruba working out. You're down here right now for one goal, right?
And then he's just gonna say that. I don't think it was the right thing for him to say, obviously, but I think he apologized. That might take a while for a lot of people to let that sink in, but obviously he could have chosen some different words, but it wasn't the right and the nice way to say it, and we worked so hard as baseball players just to get one ring, and to call it like that, I think it wasn't nice.
All right, lastly, as far as this year goes, real quick, your ankle. I know you're taking a couple of days off.
Just
nothing minor, getting ready.
It's getting better now, so I'm very happy about that. Once I came in, it wasn't doing too good, but I'm actually real happy the way it's progressed these last couple of days. A couple of setbacks, but yesterday and today was some huge good points, and I'm looking forward to getting back on the field.
Last year you walked in here as World Series champs. This year a little bit different. You know, last year, like you mentioned, didn't go your way. Do you feel that little chip on your shoulder, especially when you trade away Mookie Betts? And
you better.
And David Price. It seems like the kind of people are writing you off.
I think there's a lot of people probably writing us off. Obviously, we lost one of the best players in the game, and David Price, and one of the best pitchers to ever pitch this game. So guys with two great track records, great careers so far, and we miss those two guys. But there's a lot of guys that want to start up their career now. You know, a lot of guys is going to have new chances, new prospects, and we'll see how they perform. Obviously, I feel like every team that I've been on that won, we needed a young guy down there to help us out. So hopefully it'll be the same this year.
So when I watch you play and I hear you speak, how would you feel if I said this is your clubhouse? This is your team. You're the leader of this team.
I might say I'm one of them. You know, we obviously have a lot of older guys, especially Mitch being back is nice. Mitch has been a positive influence to all of us throughout these 3 years that he's been here. I don't think we would have won that championship without him, especially that home run that he hit off of Mattson. I can still remember that. But I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself. I know it's a lot. It's a young team, so we got to be patient also, especially with a lot of prospects that hopefully is going to come up and help us out. And it should be fun. You know, it should be fun. This game is kind of going into the younger area. I'm happy I'm still young, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. This is Xander Bogaerts. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.